In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is ever shall.
When we look at the life of Jesus that we've been celebrating, as particularly in this week, it's notable to say that the author, Matthew and Luke and Mark, who write about Jesus being baptized and all these things happening to him, are not merely writing a scientific biography, but are actually, in some ways, connecting Jesus' life not only to the Old Testament, but also to the life of every Christian. And so last week, for instance, we celebrated the baptism, and we sang in church, "As many as are baptized in Christ have put on Christ." And if we had some people ready, we would have also baptized people last week, which would be a typical baptismal day. And so we remember when the Lord is baptized that we are also baptized with Him. And we're meant to recall all the things that baptism means, which means that our sins have been cleansed, that we are redeemed, and that we have entered into God's people, and that we are therefore servants and followers of Christ. Those are all the significant, and many more, of course, that we're illumined, that we've left the land of darkness. And all this we're meant to recall in some ways connected to the baptism of Christ. Now this Sunday, we come to the point where Jesus is going to enter into his public ministry. But before we go there, I'd like to stop at yesterday's gospel, because it's often skipped over because it's on a Saturday and many churches don't have services on Saturday. In yesterday's gospel, there was the story that immediately follows what we read in the liturgy last week of Jesus being tempted. And the way that it goes is that immediately after being baptized, Jesus is felt compelled by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness. And he goes out to the wilderness and the devil meets him there. He doesn't go to the devil. After 40 days, the devil goes to him. And he gives him three temptations. One was to turn rocks into bread, because Jesus is hungry to care for himself, to use his power to save himself from physical hunger and starvation. And therefore, you know, just to also break his fast, which is precisely what happened in the Old Testament with Eve and Adam, is that they fell when they broke their fast. And so the two sides of what are the fight that are being portrayed in the gospel are, on the one hand, Jesus' obedience to the Father, his fasting to be connected with the Father, and the devil trying to get him to satisfy his earthly needs by using his power. The second temptation was that he was taken up to the top of the temple, and in the temple was made to view below. He says, "Throw yourself down, and God will catch you," because it says in the scripture, you know, the devil quoting the scripture, it says in the scripture that, you know, God will send his angels, and you won't even stumble, or you'll be caught, and you'll be safe. And that's the sin. There's a multitude of sins in it, but that's the sin of presumption and pride. That Jesus would test out his powers, first of all, to prove to himself that he has them, but also that he would test his Father. That he would throw himself off in a presumptuous way, assuming that because he's righteous, based on the quotation of the scripture that the devil gives, that God will save him because God protects the righteous. And Jesus quotes a scripture at him, quotes another scripture back him, that "ye shall not tempt the Lord your God." The third temptation is that he takes him up to a pinnacle of the world, and before him flashes all the images and the entire realm of the world, and he says, "All this will be yours if you just simply bow down, pay reverence to me, worship me, bow down." And Jesus tells him basically after this to get lost. "And you shall worship," in quotes the scripture, "you shall worship God alone." Now, in the pattern that I was mentioning at the beginning of the sermon, this is supposed to be not only historical, biographical about Jesus, but it connects to our lives. Because in this life, and after we're baptized, we can expect temptation. And we can expect temptations in all of the high areas that Jesus is tempted. You notice that many of these temptations have to do with Jesus' power or how good Jesus is. But there we also know from our own personal experiences that there are very low areas, you know, such as, temptations of maybe drinking to intoxicate himself or to, with more of the other baser sins that we're aware of. Jesus wasn't tempted with those by the devil in this particular instance. So we are to understand that the Christian life is one where after our baptism, which we exist in, that we will be tempted and tested. And that this testing is often by the guidance of God, that God will lead us out into dry places, that he'll lead us out into places that seem like death, they seem like wilderness, they seem like emptiness. That he will, in some sense, lead us to a place where we have needs, physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. And that in those moments that we will often be tempted to satisfy ourselves by using our own powers. And you'll hear within our society, of course, that most of our problems are caused by us. And therefore, most of your problems, you should go and fix yourself. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps, get it right, stop messing up, clean up your room, whatever it takes. This is one of the lies our society tells. You have the power to fix yourself, to make yourself better. Now, we're going to balance that out and say that sometimes it is the case, and that there is things that we can do, but for today's purposes, we're going to say that Jesus is being tempted to rely less on God and to, within his own powers, cure his problems with the devil. And that is precisely what our day and age is feeding us. The third phase that we hear about in this week's gospel is that Jesus goes out and begins to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this is the beginning of his earthly ministry. This is the beginning of his preaching, his teaching, his going and serving. And in the epistle today, we heard very specifically the Apostle Paul talking about Christ giving gifts to people. Some are apostles, some prophets, some teachers, and preachers. And we also can connect that to so much else that the Apostle Paul has said about all the gifts of hospitality, of love, of prayer, of those gifts that God has given each one of us. And in the end of the epistle, he talks about Christians becoming unified and entering into the fullness of faith, and then also becoming mature in Christ, becoming full in Christ. And we're to understand from this that not only is there a baptism, we're not meant to stay at baptism. We're not meant to stay in temptation. But we're actually in the Christian life called to serve. We're called to minister to one another for the unity of the church, for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. And that means that, I'm going to tie this to the temptation, but that means that ultimately our salvation, our redemption in Christ is not a selfish thing. So many of us want to get through our temptations so that we have peace. But just having peace isn't what being a Christian is about. Just feeling well integrated and like you can fight your battles and stand your ground with Scripture is not all that Christianity is about. It's also about taking what we've been trained in, what we know. It's about taking the gifts that God has given us, and going and helping and serving the people of God, and then further than that, going and helping and serving the people of the world who are in desperate need of Christ. And this is the pattern of this week. Ultimately, none of us are baptized just to be saved. We're not tempted just to somehow be overcomers within ourselves. All of it is for the purpose that as we overcome, that our own personal lessons will somehow be applied and somehow helpful to the people around us and useful. So in today's gospel, we hear, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and we're to understand that Jesus begins his ministry. All three of these things that I've mentioned are constantly going on. You are in some ways spiritually constantly being baptized. Every time you repent, there's a baptism. Sometimes even tears come. Every time something good in your spiritual life's happening, you will be tempted. Every time you make an authentic connection with Christ, temptation is right around the corner. And there's always some, even though we don't feel perfect, and even though we're in the midst of temptation, there's always, in the midst of all of this, a call to serve and to minister to one another. Because it's by our love for one another that we will be known as disciples of Christ. So, may we see Jesus Christ as our pattern of life. May we learn, I didn't mention this, but Jesus quoted the scriptures to the devil during temptation, and it's probably because he read them and he knew them, and it's helpful for us to know the scriptures. So may we learn the scriptures so that we can ward off the enemy and fight. May we spend time in fasting and prayer and overcoming temptation, but fasting and prayer preparing for the ministry that Jesus might have us to do, because he fasted and prayed before he went out and preached. And may God ultimately bless us to imitate our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.